Everyone? Hello, everybody. All right, we say it every week. Come on now, we say it every week. We're going to do this throughout the series, okay? Let three people know. We got enough to say three, but can we say to three people this today? All right, God sees me, God hears me, and God loves me. Come on, let somebody know. Three people, God sees me, God hears me, and God loves me. God sees me, God hears me. Come on, let them know. And here comes the elf on a shelf, right? Yes. Well, I'm so thankful we get to continue our series today on prayer. As we get ready for this series, as I was getting ready for this series, I think we kind of, Jesus laid a pretty solid foundation last week, amen, right? We're going to keep going into that, because here's the thing that we don't know about prayer, or we don't really recognize at times, is wherever you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, whether he's a baby on a picture that we just celebrated in a manger that brought us some Christmas gifts, a picture on a grandma's wall, a guy on a cross somewhere, or maybe you've been following Jesus your whole life, the thing that connects us all is prayer. We've all prayed at least once, right? Has everyone prayed for something? Like, sometimes maybe you prayed in a difficult season. Maybe you were in a hospital, or maybe you were in a bad season. Maybe you went to go get the scratchers at the gas station and you just prayed and hoped that something would hear you. Maybe you were at the highest of highs. I would say, parents, I've not had this privilege personally, but I would say when that baby's born, some prayer comes out, right? Like, there's got to be some prayer. Like, oh my goodness, they don't, like, because last time I checked, the only instruction manual you had for raising a child is the Bible. They don't give you, like, it's not like IKEA where you can put it together. You just, this is it. This is it. And like, they send you home, and when you go home, like, they check the car seat. Yep, you're good. Yeah, get out of the lane, sir. Keep going, right? Like, I haven't experienced that, but I have heard that you have never seen 20 miles an hour be so fast in your entire life. Dads are white knuckling on the way home, right? So when we say that, all of us have prayer in our hearts. It's something that's stitched inside of us. And we laid the groundwork of that a little bit last week, because wherever we are on following Jesus, no matter what, we've got to agree the reason we have prayer is found in Genesis 1:26. And God says, let us make man in our image. All of us are made in the image of God. And so inside of us is this communication thing that we have called prayer that we all long for. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to get to Matthew 6 again in a minute. But I want to share with you what we're going to share each week of this series as this gets ready to go, and share my prayer for us. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 1:17, and he says this: I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You may know him better. That's why we gather. That is my prayer every day for you and for myself, is that today I know God more intimately and better today than I did the day before. And I don't know about you, but that's a full life, isn't it? Because we're going to spend eternity getting to know God better. And there's no better preparation to do that than in prayer. So last week, just to catch us up, we defined what prayer was. And the Holy Spirit may give you a little bit different definition, but you know I'm wordy, so it is what it is. This is kind of what the Holy Spirit has laid upon me that prayer is. Because we can say that it's a conversation with God, but it's actually something so much more, as we laid the groundwork for last week. And prayer is this. Prayer is continuing a conversation with God that he started with his word by his grace, which through faith leads to a full relationship with him. That's a lot to gobble up. But prayer is continuing a conversation. See, oftentimes I grew up hearing prayer as a conversation with God, and it's right, but it made me think I had to initiate it. Here's what I want you to know about prayer, and just to be reminded, God's already initiated the conversation. In the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, he spoke. So his word has already gone out. Prayer is actually our response to God starting the conversation. So that's why he started it by his word, or with his word, by his grace. You say that is through faith leads to a full relationship with him, where prayer is this awesome thing as we're going to continue to dive into. If we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can't unlock the fullness of prayer, and we can't know the full character of God. So that's what we're going to dive into today as we dive into your kingdom come, your kingdom come. So we started with the Lord's Prayer. We're going to dive into the Lord's Prayer, the beginning of that. And today's going to be a little different. Can we have a little application today? Is that okay? Are y'all okay with that in the house of the Lord? So that being said, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you would like to take notes, this wonderful piece of paper If you would like, just pass some around. Some may or may not. You can do it on your phone. But just in case, this is going to be a day where you're going to be writing some things down, not because of what I say, but because of what the Holy Spirit is going to give you. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. It'll make sense. So if you don't have your Bible, as we say all the time, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. It's a famous part of Matthew chapter 6. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus brings. We have a Bible for you free for the asking in the garden. This would be a day if you'd like to do things digitally. Follow along in our app. There's a space and a place for you to take notes today. You can get that for free at thevine.tv/app. But as always, as Alex shared a little bit ago in the welcome, I'm so thankful for the sowers of our Vine fam who give of their time, our talent, and their treasure, because our Vine production team always makes sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture is in front of you. For women, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. Let's go. Matthew 6, the first two verses of the Lord's Prayer, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10. And this is Jesus speaking right here. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper as we talk about kingdom prayer today, but realistically, so many times we have heard this so much, maybe it's a painting on a wall, maybe it's somewhere written down, that it's become so familiar to us, we forget the treasure of it. It's kind of like somebody who lived, so my papa, or my great-grandfather, my Papa Hawkins, lived in Roebuck near the train, right? I mean, come on, 221 all the way through. Griffin gear, going in, flying, right? And when you would go there, you would hear the train. It almost felt like the house was shaking. Like, it really wasn't. It wasn't that close to the track, but you could hear it. He didn't have a clue. It wasn't that he was old age. He was just used to it. Like, you're just like, God, that's loud. And he's just like, what? Huh? You know, he'd like to say, Tally boy. That was what he would always call me, and he would laugh. He had the best laugh. But we can treat the Lord's Prayer that way. It's become so familiar to us that we just lose the treasure that's in it. And that's what I want us to dive into today as we talk about kingdom prayer, because the treasure that's in it, we're going to see Jesus had one of the best kingdom prayers ever as he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we're going to be in Jesus' prayer in Matthew 26. So go ahead and flip a few pages over, but Jesus also prays it. I would just challenge you, if you want to see a kingdom prayer, go to John 17 in Gethsemane, and Jesus goes even deeper into his word. So Matthew 26, let's see this kingdom prayer that Jesus has as he unpacks even more the Lord's Prayer for us. It's Matthew 26, verse 36 through 39. Matthew 26, verse 36 through 39, and it says this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now, really quick, the sons of Zebedee are James and John. So it was Peter, James, and John. Jesus gave them an awesome nickname. He called them the sons of thunder. And it's because if you read in Luke, they ask if fire could be called down from heaven on the enemies of Jesus, those who wanted to harm them. So he gave everyone else a name. He gave James and John a nickname, if you will. There's the sons of thunder. Here they go. Bulls in China shop. I don't know. I get excited about that because that's probably what he calls me. He calls me son of rumble or something. I don't know. Son of Cottonell. That's probably what he calls me. So wherever you are, that's where we are. And he goes on to say this in verse 38. Then he said, this is Jesus. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face down to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will, Lord, or as you will. Jesus goes on to do that three more times, that same kingdom prayer. As we saw in the opener, it's desperation that also often leads us to prayer. Jesus is so overwhelmed at this moment, he is sweating blood. Now, Peter, James, and John are so tired, they're over there sleeping, man. They took some Benadryl or they had some turkey at the Passover and they weren't supposed to, and they're missing out on what Jesus is doing. But there is no greater kingdom prayer, no greater prayer than not as I will, but as you will. Doesn't that just seem like what we just read in Matthew 6, 9, and 10? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, many times when I pray, I don't know about you, but I want my will done, right? Like, all right, Jesus, I'm going to pray all these things, but I'm just trying to get to the good part. You know what I mean? Like, I got to butter you up. You know, I got to sit on your lap and, you know, rub your back, let you know how good you are. But here's my list of demands. And if we can meet those, then I'll follow you. But if not, I'll see you tomorrow. We've got to try to go after it again. We're all guilty of that. But what Jesus prays is not his will, but the Father. If there's anybody who walked the earth that wanted their will be done, wouldn't you say it'd be Jesus? Yet he says he came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father. So for each and every one of us, that's what we have to dive into when we talk about prayer, is what Jesus is teaching us is, what are we really praying for? And so this is where we're going to dive into a little bit of application today, okay? If you joined us on Thursday night, we walked through, and you can go back and watch it. It's 20-something minutes, I think, if I remember correctly, which is a feat in itself. But we went through Luther's method of prayer. Martin Luther, not Lucifer, Luther. Martin Luther's method of prayer. And so today, we want to go to another early church father, if you will. We're going to go through Augustine's method of prayer. Is that okay? Can we do that? So we're going to walk through it, we're going to explain it, and then we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to apply it. How does that sound? Each and every one of us. So Augustine, if you don't know anything about Augustine, Augustine was, if you haven't studied church history, it's an awesome thing to study. You can see some of the early fathers. He was one of the early fathers of the church. If I remember right, he was in the 4th and 5th century AD, if I think correctly, and he was born in Algeria, I know, but he was under Roman Empire at the time. He converted to Christianity, many believe in his 30s, and the reason that he did that is because he was told to read about it. And the Holy Spirit said, read about it, and this is the way to the Lord. And so he did that. And many of his writings, his teachings, the things that he's known, if I remember correctly, as the Doctor of Grace. If anybody who's studied church history knows anything about it, he's known as the Doctor of Grace. And the thing that's really cool about Augustine, if you will, is that our Western Christianity, he heavily influenced Western Christianity. The Eastern Orthodox, now he's a saint in Eastern Orthodox, he's a saint in the Catholic Church, but he stepped away from that and influenced many of the traditions, many of the sacraments which we take are heavily influenced from Augustine. Here's the most interesting thing to me about Augustine. On his deathbed, he said he wanted all the Psalms hung up on the walls around his room so that he could read them, meditate on them, pray them, and worship with them before he went to heaven. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. Because we know the Psalms are worship songs, but as we said last week, they are actually prayers. And so that's what he was praying on his deathbed. I wish I would say that I would be that important to say that. I wish I would know that my focus was so heavily on the Lord that that's what I would do, but it mine probably wouldn't be. I'd be trying to make sure everything was knocked out, trying to get everything lined up, you know, trying to make sure there's some toilet tissue in the bathroom when I have to go, you know, all that crazy good stuff. But instead, we see that from Augustine. So here's Augustine's method, or we call theology of prayer. He has some steps that we should have for prayer. If you with me, give me an amen. Amen. All right, step one, really easy. Become the right person of God. Isn't that the easiest thing? He says, become the right person of God. You got to have your heart in the right place. And how you do that is you realize your depravity of sin, the sickness of your heart, so much so you are so desperate for Jesus because nothing in this world can satisfy you. So before you even go to prayer, I don't know about you, but I'm terrible about that. I just want to, yes, you start your day with praying. What Augustine moves is your heart aligned with the Lord? Do you understand his grace, what he saved you from, the depravity that you were in your sin, the searching, the wandering, the groping in the dark, searching for light? Do you have your heart aligned with him first? And once you have that, then step two is pray. But you can't pray until you first got your heart aligned with the will of God. So Augustine moves for each and every one of us. We've got to know our heart is aligned with the Lord. Is our heart in the right place? Do we understand that he is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ is? And once we have that, then we can pray that prayer of faith. After we've prayed that and we start to pray, our prayer should be filled with these things: adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and confession. Adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and confession. Now, one thing you're going to hear from all of the early church leaders or anyone who has written on prayer is confession and repentance are the hallmarks of a Christian life. And so many times, I don't know about you, I don't want to confess my sins in prayer many times. I don't know about you, but did you see what they did, Jesus? I mean, you saw that lady at the well. Don't lie to me. I know you seen her. You seen them at the red light. I might have honked four red lights down the road. Thanks, Mama. I might have honked four red lights down the road at them. But they know what they did, Jesus. And Jesus is like, I'm going to deal with them, son. I'm trying to deal with you. Prayer is marked by that. So let me ask you this. When's the last time you adored the Lord? In prayer. Otherwise, we're going to a genie in a bottle, aren't we? When is the last time we thanked him for his grace, his mercy, for what step one is, what he saved us? When is the last time we just were like, I don't even belong in your presence? We talked about it last week. The presence of God in the Old Testament was marked by the Ark of the Covenant, and if you touched it, you died. Read all about the Old Testament saints. Read about Moses at the bush. Read about Joshua. When God comes in their presence, they're like, I'm about to die. Why? Because we're looking on perfection. Now, I know when you get up and you look in the mirror every day, you're like, can't get no better than this. That's perfection. But Jesus is perfection. God is perfection. We follow Jesus into the throne room of grace. How much do we have this adoration? When I read in Revelation, I don't see everybody saying, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. No, they are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Like, they are giving him praise and adoration. If you've never had a prayer like that, I would encourage you to do that this week. Your prayer could be your favorite worship song. And just get in it. I'm talking just get in. Like the male prayer. They got to call the cops because you're worshiping so hard. They don't know what's going on. Adoration. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I do that, man, Thanksgiving overflows. It overflows in me. It's so easy for me to give thanksgiving when I've started with adoration. It's so easy for me to thank the Lord, because then all of a sudden, as thank the Lord for hot water when it comes, right? You don't realize it until it ain't there, until it's freezing cold. Thank the Lord for that. You didn't plan on taking the ice bath challenge this morning, but you did, because you ain't got no hot water. Thank the Lord for running water. Thank the Lord for what's in the refrigerator. Thank the Lord that I can flip a switch and a light will come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for covers on a bed. Thank you for a roof over my head. I'm not sleeping under a bridge. Thank you, Jesus. That helps my petition to the Lord. We're going to talk about the petitions Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer here in a minute, but it helps when I petition the Lord. And what am I petitioning the Lord for? What is on my heart? We're going to unpack this in a second, and this may blow your mind a little bit, but I'm going to be real with you. How many times are you afraid to ask the Lord for something? I know I am. Sometimes I do. I'm just like, he don't care about that. He don't care about me asking about that thing. I mean, it ain't even worth it. He don't care about me asking that. But I want to tell you, he wants you to ask. You know why he wants you to ask? Not so that he can power trip, but so that we can be reminded who has the power and sovereignty. I'll move it to you this way. It is better for me to have one prayer answered than to figure out 1,000 things on my own. I have more joy in that, seeing that prayer being answered, than me actually winning the Powerball. I mean, there's so much joy when you say, that's crazy. Well, give me the winning Powerball lottery ticket, and I'll let you know. But for now, I will tell you for real, I enjoy that one prayer being answered, because I want to tell you something. I can't keep it to myself when it is. And that's the hope the world is searching for. And when that happens, it's much easier for me to confess my sin. See, my prayer teaches me, as we shared last week, my prayer has been teaching me, it'll teach me more about me than anything else or anyone else, than the mirror that I stand in front of. It teaches me who I am in the Lord and who he created me to be. Then step four, Augustine moves on to say, is pray in your trials and your tribulation. Pray in your difficult seasons, because what we normally do, we shared it really last week a little bit. It's easy. Like when I'm in my hard situation, yes, I'm saying a prayer. But when I'm in a hard season, my prayer ain't full of adoration and thanksgiving. I'll be honest. I mean, let's just be real. Jesus, get me out of this mess. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, they probably weren't thinking, it's going to be all right. I wonder what we're having when we get out of this thing. Like, what kind of food are we going to have? Like, is the wage line going to be long today? Like, they weren't thinking about that. What's going on? Like, so what Augustine moves is so many times, maybe you're in the midst of a difficult season or trial right now, and you think Jesus just don't hear you. You think God's forgotten you. He stuck you in that season. Like, I have prayed to get out of this season, Lord. I have done everything. I have been on my knees. I have asked for the church to pray for me. I have been everywhere. I even stopped the man on the side of the street, and he was asking me for a dollar. And I said, hey, man, I usually ask other people if I can pray for them. Will you pray for me for a minute? Like, I've done everything. And God, I just feel like you've forgotten me. Here's what Augustine moves. Sometimes your season or trials are actually a shield to protect you because it makes you run to God. Because he's going to push you through it in his good timing. Not to beat you up, but it is a shield. Because I'm going to tell you something. In the tough seasons, I run to God. I don't know about you, but it's real easy then. When I got that winning Powerball, man, I'm glad I got that $2 and I bought that ticket. And Jesus is like, whoa, hang on, dude. Like, whoa. So he moves, Augustine moves. What if we stayed in prayer in all seasons? Paul said it this way, 2 Corinthians 12, somewhere around verse 7. I know it's 2 Corinthians 12. Fact check me. It is what it is. It's somewhere. 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the thorn in his flesh, right? And he said that he prayed that the Lord would remove the thorn from his flesh. He prayed for it three times to be removed because it was a messenger of Satan, yet God didn't remove it. Jesus didn't remove it because he said what? My power is made perfect in your what? Weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says, I will boast all the more in my weakness because Christ's strength is fully seen through me. Difficult season. So now that Augustine has gotten all of this together for us, maybe I've given you some steps. These are his steps, and this is just his method in which he approached prayer. Like I said, Thursday night we went through Luther's method, which is a little bit different. So kind of think of it this way. This is in a nutshell. We just had Christmas, right? Yes, thank the Lord. And hopefully, imagine your child. I don't even know what the crazy toys are. Imagine your child gets a Cocoa Melon bus. Is that something? There we go. That's what I'll say. They're playing with that Cocoa Melon bus, and the wheel falls off. Oh, man. It was their favorite bus. They played with the box until you finally threw it away because that was the most important thing. But then they finally got the bus out, and they're playing with the bus. And they run to Mama and Daddy, and what are they going to ask you to do? Fix the bus, right? Fix my bus. Mama and Daddy, fix the bus. It's broken. It's not working. And I know that you have the power to do it, so fix the bus. And imagine if Dad comes in and says, you don't understand, son. I just won the Powerball. I got $100 million. Do you not understand? We're rich. What do you think that boy's going to say to his dad? Fix the bus. I don't care. He has no conception of what a $100 million Powerball win would be. Augustine is moving. That's us in our prayer. We hang on to these small things, and we care so much about these little things that we have in our hand. We miss out on the fullness of God's blessing because we're focused on the wrong thing. Our heart is on the thing of this world instead of the benefit of an almighty God and the character of God. So what Augustine is moving for each and every one of us as we talk about prayer, he is saying prayer is built upon the character of God himself. And what does this mean? The prayer is built upon the character of God and his promise. But you see, we got to realize there's a Godhead, a triune God. See, there's a process that happens here. See, we can't come into the presence of God without lying. So Jesus is our mediator, right? He goes before us. So what if we understood before we go into the throne room of grace that Jesus has opened the door for us? And how did he do it? Remember, he lives a perfect, sinless life we couldn't live so that we could be in the presence of God. He dies the death we deserve, paying the penalty for our sins on the cross as our eternal sacrifice so that we don't have to sacrifice animals, so that we don't have to die in order to live the life that God created us to live. Then he lets us live in it now because he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. So we get to be heaven on earth now. So now that our mediator, Christ, is there, but we have one more piece. Remember, the Spirit of God is the presence of God. It is our intercessor. Sometimes you just don't know what to pray. I don't know about you. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's there. I'm glad when I pray for zero-calorie food that the Holy Spirit's like, you know what he means, Father. Like, you know, he's trying to, you know what he means. Those kind of things, that he's intercessory for us. So now that we got this method of prayer, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little bit of application with this today, with a little bit of time we got remaining. All right, you with me? Give me an amen. All right, here we go. So kingdom prayer itself, this is what Augustine is talking about, our heart being aligned. So when it comes to kingdom prayer, your kingdom come, what Jesus is saying for each and every one of us is, what kingdom are we praying for? See, if we're praying for our little cocoa melon bus, I hope we don't get kicked off. It is what. Our praying for our cocoa melon bus, we're praying about our kingdom, about what we want, about we tell God when that happens, look how I've washed my cocoa melon bus. Look how I've taken care of it. Therefore, I deserve your blessing. Our kingdom. Or as Jesus is saying, your kingdom come, are we praying that God's kingdom is built in and through us, and the only way that we get his blessing is if we are aligned with his will and his kingdom. So what kingdom are we praying for? So obviously that's the prayer we want, is his kingdom come. So here's what I want us to do with some application today. We're going to break down verse 9 and 10, and what we're going to look at is what many of the early church leaders would call like the address and the first few petitions of the Lord's Prayer, okay? So here we go. We're going to start. Matthew 6, 9 starts out this way, our Father in heaven. So our Father in heaven. Now we're going to have a little groundwork of what we're going to do, and we're going to do this all the way through. So this is where we address our Father in heaven. Once again, remember, Jesus has gone before us, so that's when we get to go in the door. It's kind of like you're the plus one. You're the friend of a friend, and so it's kind of good. God's going to treat you a little bit better because that's his son. Like, when you're in trouble, you want the other sibling in front of you, right? Like, you want them behind. Like, you know, you're going to just sit there for a minute and hope you can scoot by, because if mom or dad catch them first, I can roll around the hallway down to my room, right? So that's what this is, our Father in heaven. This is a reminder to each and every one of us what Jesus has done for us, but that we are part of God's family, our Father who art in heaven. So here's what we're going to do with each and every one of these. I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm going to give it a second while we do it. So if you're writing or you're taking notes, you can apply Augustine's method, or even better today, I would say this. So what I mean by his method is what adoration, what petition, what thanksgiving and confession is happening here as we go through the Lord's Prayer. But most importantly, I'm going to ask you two questions. The first question is, our Father in heaven. I'm sorry, y'all are getting, I'm about to say NKJV, our Father who art. I'm sorry, forgive me, but that's how it's written on my heart. I'm going to ask you two questions. What does this mean for you? And what is the Holy Spirit teaching you? We're going to take a few seconds and you write that down. From our Father in heaven, what is the Holy Spirit teaching you right now? And what does this mean for you? Because this is important for prayer. Because if it's just words, it doesn't mean anything to you. So write that down. Don't worry. Nobody's looking. And if they are, they can cheat off your paper. It is what it is. There is no right answer to this test. Our Father in heaven. What does it mean? How does it connect you to God? How does it move you? How does it stir you to give adoration that the very creator of the universe welcoming you in? Our Father in heaven. You can see a familiar tone as we go forward. And don't worry if you haven't figured it out or writing everything down. It's okay. I'm going to try to give about 30 to 60 seconds on each one, and my prayer would be that you could do this even longer as we go, but it starts with our Father in heaven. The next is the first petition, if you will, of the Lord's Prayer, or the first doctrine, if you will, of the Lord's Prayer, and it is, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed. This is a weird word for us, I know, many times, but it means holy. Holy. So what is it about the holy name of God? What is it? What does it mean for you? What is the Holy Spirit teaching you about the holy name for God? Do you understand that when we're clothed in Christ, we don't have the mark of the beast upon our head. We have God stamped upon our forehead, and we are his ambassadors to the end of the earth as he is building his kingdom in and through us. He looks at us as holy, as pleasing to him. We get to delight in him as he delights in us. Hallowed be your name. What does that teach you? What does it mean for you? That your past mistakes or future failures aren't what's counted against you, but instead Christ, his victory. What is the Holy Spirit teaching you in this moment? What does it mean for you? So it starts with our Father in heaven. It moves to hallowed be your name. Then it says this second petition of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. This is considered the Lordship petition, or the petition of God's grace for us. Now, the same two questions apply. I'm going to talk for a minute, but let the Holy Spirit talk into your heart. Do this even more for you. What does this mean for you? And what is the Holy Spirit teaching you? Your kingdom come. For each and every one of us, God still reigns. Amen? He is reigning and ruling, and his kingdom is to come. His fullness of his kingdom is come. As a matter of fact, it's already here. We just haven't realized it yet. Why? Because of God's mercy, his mercy of giving every one of us a chance to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God's kingdom is being built in and through us. Your kingdom come. What does that kingdom look like? It is a kingdom where there will be no more cancer bells that have to be rung. There will be no more divorce. There will be no more death. There will be no more sickness, no more tears. This body will no longer ache. It'll be a brand new body. And I don't know if we're going to have wings, if we're going to have arrows we get to shoot like cherubs, if we get to have the best macaroni and banana pudding and ain't got to worry about the cotton now. Whatever it is, his kingdom is to come, and the fullness of it is all wrongs will be made right. But in the in-between, here's the thing, church. Those of us who are in Christ, we get to share that with everyone because of Christ. So what does this mean for you, your kingdom come? What is the Holy Spirit teaching you in this moment, right now, about it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And the last and the third petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This petition is God's protection and God's sovereignty, and how he defends us against, as we read about in the armor of God, against the fiery arrows of Satan and his scheme. The only way that we can ask that God's will be done in us is if he is first our Father in heaven. We're saying on earth as it is in heaven, as he is building his kingdom in and through us. So one more time, I'm going to talk, but in this moment as you write that, what is the Holy Spirit teaching you, and what does this mean for you? We can trust God's will because Jesus trusts God's will. He came to do God's will as he prayed in the garden before the cross for us. See, without God's will, that means that my salvation is built upon my will and my grace. We got a whole world thinking that they can save themselves. And I'm going to tell you, all that breeds and results in is chaos and no peace and ultimately death. But when I receive the will of the Father and the work done for me, for Jesus, that's when I get to have life. What this means is, as we just shared at Augustine's fourth point, praying in our fourth rule, if you will, or step, praying and petitioning in trials and tribulations. This means no matter what comes our way, God is still sovereign. He still protects his children. And we can know that he is, as Romans 8:28, we love to quote it, he is working all things out for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. But let me ask you this. What does this mean for you? What is the Holy Spirit teaching you? Let me say it this way. Kind of shared it this way a little bit Thursday, and this is something that's been rocking me in prayer. How do you know the good that God has for you? I think I know the good God has for me when I pray, right? I mean, the good is the beach house in Hawaii, right? The Learjet that only has to fuel up once around the world, right? Right? The good is comfort. I think I know the good God has for me. But I can't even imagine it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, what I'm trying to get at is, so many times, as Augustine put with that little cocoa melon, I think the best thing I could ever have from God is a cocoa melon bus. Now, I'm not willing to give it up to him till I break it. But in that, I'm missing out on his fullness. And in that, here's the thing. Prayer should be an agent of healing, an agent of change in our life. But the thing is, if my heart isn't aligned with God, I'm definitely not going to treat him. I'm going to treat him as my Father in heaven way up there. And I'm not going to worry about that part where his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So wherever you are right now, we kind of dove into a little application today. I just want to say at the end of this, if we know your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it means that I not only get to rest in the life and the peace that Jesus has, I get to walk in the victory that he has given us through every trial. I get to have peace in the midst of that crazy diagnosis, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, in the midst of the loss of relationships, in the midst of the loss and the grief and the chaos and the no peace and the canal shutting down and who got shot at in the Red Sea and who didn't and whatever happened to the Panama Canal, so we're flying over everything and the gas price, and don't even get me started on the electricity price. I mean, seriously. Anyways, all the way through for all of us, whatever season, I can know whose victory I rest in. So today, as we're applying this, the early church fathers had these methods, because so many times, I don't know about you, I would just maybe throw this out there. I keep a journal, and I'm not telling you, you have to do it today, okay? But I will say this, I like to keep a journal. I keep a prayer journal. And many times I have to go back to that prayer journal because it's something Jesus has taught me before, and I've had my focus on that cocoa melon bus again. And he's like, I've been here before. Hey, Tyler, you've been here before. You're still in the wilderness. You're wandering around. We're in that 40-year cycle right now. Lord, 40. It's happening soon. That 40-year cycle, we're in that same place, Tyler. Instead of going in this circle, will you trust me? Will you trust me? I'm going to deliver you from it in my time. So much so, all you see in front of you is this big old Red Sea. All you see in front of you is giants that you think will kill you. All you see in front of you is a land of milk and honey that you think you can't ever be a part of. Will you just trust me? I'm going to deliver it to you. You see a Jordan River that's flooded before you walk in. Are you just going to trust me that I'm going to push the waters back? Are you going to trust me? And so I would challenge you, everybody has a different method of prayer. But if you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, what if you broke it down like this? And you just shared what it meant to you to the Lord. You just shared thanksgiving for it. You just went to him and said, Jesus, you said, or Lord, this is your promise to me. These are your promises. This is what your word says. Gave him thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, it's really easy for me to confess at that moment in time because I know he is working it out. And he's going to give me the best gift. But here's what I would challenge you with in prayer this week. Even the smallest thing that you think don't matter, or the biggest thing that you're afraid to ask for, as we talked about our word for 2024, ask, seek, and knock, the worst thing that's going to happen is God is not going to give you your best. It's not the best for you. As the great theologian Garth Brooks said, sometimes some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Anyway, I'm laughing, but it's true. I almost have his mic, though. It's kind of, I need to Britney Spears it up so I can do it right. But some of his greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. So let me tell you this. It's not going to hurt you to ask God. If you didn't receive it, it's because it wasn't your best, his best for you. And if you go and to approach the throne room of grace, how easy is that? So all I got to do is ask. I just got to ask him. I'm terrible with that. I need to be healed from something, Lord. I know you got other things going on. I got some job loss, Lord. I'm struggling there. He's got bigger things on the agenda, not me right there. You are his agenda. I am his agenda. Why? Because of Christ in us. And so today, as we get to wrap up, I want to say it this way. Skyscrapers, I may mess this up too, but it's okay. Y'all have grace with me, I hope. Skyscrapers, you know, these big old tall buildings, right? We got one in Spartanburg we've had my whole life. It's exciting. Thank you, Flagstar, for shutting down. Now Denny's is there. Whatever, however you want to look at it. So the foundation of a skyscraper can be about as half as deep as the height of it. So if it's 400 feet tall, many times, depending on the land, it has to go at least a third to a half down, or otherwise it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? Like, we got to figure out what to do. The foundation has to go deep so that it can be built upon. And see, that's Christians, for each and every one of us, that's what prayer does. It grows the roots, the foundation in our heart of God. As a matter of fact, even a better example could be not a skyscraper, but a tree. Do you know a tree has to grow? The limbs can't outgrow its roots. Otherwise, it will topple down. So when you have that tree that's really, really long and got really, really long branches, know there's a root that goes all the way through it. It's not going to grow if that root doesn't keep going out forward. Christians, that's what we have in prayer. The foundation of our prayer is letting the roots of God's character, the roots of Christ, grow deep inside of our heart to keep it aligned in Him. And I'm going to tell you, when we do that, we realize that we're going to be that what is it, Psalm 1 says, that tree planted by a stream that bears fruit in all seasons. And for those who don't know Jesus, whether you're in the house or watching online, I just want to ask you about your kingdom. What are you building your kingdom on? Because if you're building it on the cocoa melon bus or the skyscraper, if you will, and you keep building your skyscraper, an earthquake's going to come and it's going to fall down. If you're building it eventually, if you're building your own skyscraper, steel is what, about 100 years or so? You got to replace the steel beams? Like, steel's going to be needed to be replaced. Everything you build with your hands will die. It will fade. And a storm will come and you will not stand because you are building your house on sand. But for those of us in Christ, we have built our house on the rock, and it will not fail. No matter what storm of life comes, no matter what everything else, no matter what this world throws at us, not even death itself can defeat us. And so today, wherever you are, when it comes to prayer, maybe your prayer is, God, reveal yourself to me today. Maybe you're looking for a prayer of faith. I want to challenge and encourage you with a prayer that Paul gave to the Roman church in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. He says, hey, if you want to have Jesus as your Savior, if you want to know the fullness of God, if you want to know the full potential of who you were created to be, instead of building your foundation on your life being yourself and your saving grace, let me point you to the grace that will outlast all, that will be a rock for eternity. He says it this way. This prayer of faith is this. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and you are justified, and with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. It is both. It is not just the words, it is your heart. It is faith. Faith. What do you have faith in? Faith in yourself and what you build on faith in Christ. There's only two options. And so with every head bow and every eye closed today, we're going to pray this prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It is the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. That because of our sin, we built our life on a foundation that was sand, that was constantly crumbling, that could not withstand the storms of life, could not withstand death. But God didn't create us to be that way. God created us to have eternal life, to be in his presence, to continue to live in eternity with him in his presence and have no fear of death. But see, sin, it only leads to death. So instead of leaving us in that state, God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. He died the death we deserved for our sins, paying the penalty for it once and for all on the cross. And he loved us enough. He didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we don't even have to fear death. He's conquered death. We can walk in fullness of life now and be in God's presence now, not just in heaven after we pass away. And so today, that's what we're doing. We're receiving this free gift of salvation that Jesus gave us. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in the house, if for the first time you have received this free gift of salvation, you are declaring today that you have given lordship of your life to Christ and you are tired of building upon a foundation that will only sink and lead to death, but now we're built upon the solid rock of Christ. If the first time you have received this free gift, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, 3. If you're in the house today, if you're watching online, you see me. I'm the only one looking at you. And the reason is I want to celebrate if that's you. If you're watching online today, you may see a hand that's raised. You may be seeing a link that's there, thevine.tv/respond. The reason we want to celebrate this with you is because this is the starting block of eternity for you. This is the starting block of your journey of knowing who you are. And the only way you can find it is through Christ Jesus. And for the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up and you can stand up. We're about to have a moment of worship. And I just want to ask you as we go into this time of worship, would we look at that third step of Augustine and prayer? Could this be a moment of worship where there is adoration, petition to the Lord, where there's thanksgiving and confession? If we could do that, I'm going to tell you, we're going to leave this place better than how we walked in. And when others see us in the street, they're going to see his light in us. And man, oh man, you want to talk about an answered prayer? Somebody to ask you, who is Jesus? I don't know about you, but that gets me fired up. Fired up. So let's step in this time of worship and let's give him all the glory.
Isn't he wonderful? Sing high. your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great.
Sorry about that. That being said, really quick, I'm about to pray something that I was challenged with in our Bible app Devo. We talked about it earlier. I'm going to pray Aaron's blessing over us. Before that, I'm also going to say we're praying that you're going to be here next week. We got all kind of, sugar, just New Year's resolution busters. But we pray that is zero calorie, and we've got some seats and chairs for you, so we hope to see your smiling face next week. So with everyone's heads bowed and everyone's eyes closed, we're going to go to that number 6, 24 to 27, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift you up with his countenance and give you peace. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.